there, Olive stopped, turned and said, "We're not actually going there. My husband's at home, we live nearby." Christian nodded. "Does nobody..." She interrupted, "We have keys to the mansion, but no one lives there. It's a bit run down, but in pretty good nick, considering its age. It's 200 years old, you know. The oldest stone building in Iceland." "This girl, Laura..." Again, she cut him off. "It's best you speak to my husband." Christian walked along beside her, neither of them saying a word. There was a blustery breeze blowing on the island, but it was warmer than it had been on the crossing, despite the lack of sun. After they had been walking for a couple of minutes, he asked, "Excuse me, but you said you live here, you and your husband." "We moved here in the spring to a house that belongs to my family. We spent last summer here too, it's..." She paused. "There's nowhere quite like it." Christian didn't doubt it. The island was certainly a picturesque spot, its green meadows surrounded by the blue waters of the bay and set against the great hulk of Mount Esja. But Olaf's words lacked conviction to his ears. She went on awkwardly. "It's not far to our house. It's more or less halfway between the mansion and the old school." As they walked, he let his mind wander. Being in the open air agreed with him, but he would rather have been spending this late summer's day doing something quite different. In recent years, he and a couple of old friends had taken up mountaineering in their spare time, inspired by the news 3 years earlier of Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay's conquest of Everest. While Christian had no hope of ever achieving those heights, he was making good progress. Only a few days ago, news had come in that the North Icelandic peak of Hraundrangi in Oxnadala had been climbed for the first time. Christian was acquainted with the two Icelanders who had made the ascent, along with an American. What he wouldn't have given to be there right now, rather than here in the tame environs of Viðey. Still, gentle though the terrain was, he was careful where he set his feet as he picked his way over the tussocky ground. He remembered how his mother used to laugh and say that Icelandic men always walked as if they were stepping over tussocks, even when the ground was perfectly flat. But his main concern was to leave here without twisting or spraining an ankle, or dirtying his suit, for that matter. He owned 3 suits. The light grey one he was wearing now was the newest. The pinstripe was looking a little threadbare these days. And the black one he saved mainly for formal occasions, like funerals. An old wooden house appeared ahead, its black paint flaking. It had obviously seen better days. At that moment, an Arctic tern swooped over Christian's head, and he made a grab for his hat to ward the bird off, only to remember belatedly that the hat was now floating somewhere in the Faxaflói Bay. "Don't worry," Olaf said. "The breeding season's over, so it won't attack you." Her tone was momentarily lighter, as if she had forgotten that she was in the company of a policeman on duty. Her husband didn't come outside to greet them. Noting this, Christian wondered why it was Olaf who had been sent to meet him off the boat. Was this the way the couple normally did things? Or could there be something else behind it? "Come in," Olaf said, rather curtly, once they had reached the house. Christian entered a hall that turned out to be part of the sitting room. It was warm inside, almost uncomfortably so for the time of year. "Ottar," Olaf called. "Ottar, he's here." Christian heard a noise upstairs, then footsteps boomed through the old wooden house. Without saying another word, Olaf walked into the sitting room and pulled out a chair from a large oak table, indicating that Christian should take a seat. He did so and waited. She sat down as well. "Good morning," said the man who had come down the stairs. "I'm Ottar. I take it you're Christian." "I am indeed. Thank you very much for agreeing to meet me. I only managed to explain briefly over the phone, but the thing is, we're worried about Laura."